You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back for the second installment of a very special edition of Secure Freedom Radio, talking with one of my favorite people, John Guandolo, a Marine, a former FBI special agent, now doing incredibly important work under the banner of an organization he founded called Understanding the Threat, designed to try to help our law enforcement personnel, among others, do just that. John, just before we leave the current malaise, if I can call it that, of the FBI, what's going to be needed to turn things around there? As you say, there are lots of good people who are trying to do the job we need them desperately to do. But is it just a question of getting rid of Andrew McCabe, or does there need to be a more widespread and rigorous house cleaning with respect to people who have exhibited the same kind of, incompetent, if not malfeasant, management?
Okay, so there's two pieces to that answer, if I might. The first is, I think it needs to be a much deeper house cleaning. I mean, it's 2018, and we've got a massive Marxist movement in the United States, a massive Islamic movement in the United States, neither of which the FBI is addressing in any substantial way, and even any non-substantial way, quite frankly.
To say nothing of the partnership of the two in the what we call red-green axis here.
Exactly. And not only is the Bureau not helping, as we Understand the Threat just released a video. If you just go to YouTube, type in Understanding the Threat, the first video that we have there demonstrates the not only incompetence, but the fact that senior FBI leadership, including Director Mueller, when he was the director, was directly aiding and abetting terrorists. And that's what the video is meant to show. So I think since you have people in leadership at the unit chief level at headquarters, the assistant director level, the EAD, they need to all go too, because it means they have not addressed this at all. And not only have they not addressed it, they are aiding and abetting, providing material support to known, easily identifiable al-Qaeda and Hamas operatives. The example in the video is you've got the Dar al-Hijra Mosque in Falls Church, Virginia, where the founding members, the founders, the imams, the presidents of the board, members of the board, and fundraisers have direct links to Hamas, al-Qaeda, and certainly the Muslim Brotherhood, but most to Hamas and al-Qaeda. And there you have in the video, then we cut over, and this is from 2017, the executive assistant director, Paul Abate, glorifying these people in this mosque and explaining how we know that you have nothing to do with violence and terrorism. And then the lead jihadi imam saying, I got a call on my cell phone from the FBI director, and it was during a time frame, 2012, when it was Director Mueller, and he tells the story. This is just, it's beyond catastrophic failure. It's sedition. It's materially supporting terrorism. And that's at the senior levels. And I can tell you, you look at the training, you look at the intelligence collection, those people who are leading those entities all need to go. And I would argue a good look needs to be done to see if there can be criminal prosecution.
Wow. This is, the sort of thing that I believe many of us are probably sensing, but John, you've had firsthand experience of it. And going back to what you said a moment ago, in terms of your efforts to try to put together a serious and realistic program for training agents in the nature of the enemy, specifically these Islamists, these Sharia supremacists, you found not only, as I recall, the excuse that there wasn't the budget for this, but also your program fell afoul, if I'm not mistaken, of what came to be known as the purge, did it not? The effort by the Obama administration was actually a big part of this, but it was the second phase of the purge. The first phase was the Bush administration, George W. Bush. Talk a little bit about your experiences in that period and what it did to the Bureau in your judgment.
Well, in 2006, after a few years of working terrorism cases and realizing there's a massive Islamic movement in the United States, primarily led by the Brotherhood, and coming to that knowledge through evidence and facts that we had done through investigation, I put together in the summer of 2006 the very first training program in the government on these matters, on Sharia, on the Islamic movement, and what people can do. And, you know, I invited you into that on the first day to be a part of that. And it was an incredible program that all the students said, everyone in the government and all law enforcement needs to have this program. Well, it was not really welcome, because the individuals and the organizations we were pointing out that are hostile were the leaders of those organizations were working inside the Bush administration with FBI, CIA leaders, with the Pentagon. And it created in the government real friction because we were calling out some truths there.
And to the extent that that was the case, what I think I certainly have learned over the years, John, and you've done much of the teaching, is that indeed those individuals were inside the government as part of a much more comprehensive civilization jihad, as the Muslim Brotherhood calls it. Talk a little bit about what we know about the civilization jihad and how it's manifested itself beyond placing operatives, some of whom were, you know, doing business as an imam of a mosque founded by the Muslim Brotherhood, some of whom were academics, some of whom were, you know, business people, what have you, but all of whom seem to embrace and seek to advance this Sharia supremacist program that the Brotherhood is all about.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. What we know is dating back dating back to the 1980s, when the FBI's Indianapolis office had an open case on the Islamic Society of North America and literally wanting to indict them and being turned down by headquarters, all the way through when I did those training programs and even coming forward today, the evidence is, there's no lack of evidence that there is an Islamic movement in the United States, that it's primarily led by the Brotherhood, that all of the prominent Islamic organizations in the United States are part of it. They established the very first national Islamic organization in the U.S., meaning the Muslim Brotherhood did, in 1963, the Muslim Student Associations. When the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development was indicted right after 9/11 in Dallas, Texas, 2001, it was the largest Islamic charity in America, and it was a Muslim Brotherhood organization. Specifically, it was a terrorist organization. It was Hamas. And when you look at the information we have from evidence, from their own documents, from testimony, and from investigation, we see that it's the Muslim Brotherhood that builds the Muslim community in the United States. And as we get to today, you know, as about a year and a half ago, the guy who ran the Combating Terrorism and Technical Support Office for the Pentagon said on a national radio program that the Muslim Brotherhood controls the national security decision-making process as it relates to Islamic terrorism. And the way they intend to win the war is exactly that, to control how our leaders understand the threat.
And we cannot defeat an enemy we do not understand, needless to say, as Sun Tzu points out. John, we have to pause for just a second. We'll be right back with more. We'll talk about one of the organizations John's referred to, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, which is, as he says, simply a front for a terrorist organization known as Hamas. That and more with John Guandola right after this.